on Afternoon Drive. Nick Wilson, Jason Stanford. We're just talking about this off air because Katie Pollack, big Indiana football fan. Yes, they exist. Big noon kickoff is at Indiana this weekend around the Hoosiers game. And she was like, if we can just get a big win and maybe a Browns win. And everybody kind of like chortled, like, ha, 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 a Browns win. What is that like? Am I crazy for thinking I actually kind of, I don't know if I actually have a good feeling about the Browns game or if I'm just not paying any attention to the Browns game. But either way, I got to say, I don't feel all that bad about the game on Sunday.
For me, it's going to be rough because you're looking at a team right now that's 1-5. They're playing a team that's 2-4 that has one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now in Joe Burrow. That scares me.
So this is the case of a elite quarterback versus an elite defense and an awful offense versus an awful defense.
Right.
All right. Logic says elite quarterback's going to put up some points. And I guess I shouldn't call him an elite defense also, by the way. But elite quarterback's going to put up. So now it is, can your awful offense do work against their awful defense? So I understand if the answer is no, because it probably should be no until they show you otherwise. But yeah, like I've been saying to my FanDuel ads, like, I mean, they're only 7-point dogs at home. Like, why not take the Browns and the points?
That's a big dog at home, right?
That's a huge dog.
Yes.
But we've reached the point where it's like, well, I have no factual basis that the Browns are going to be in this game. But you know what? Maybe the Bengals will sleep on them. That's where we're at.
Oh my gosh. That's rough right there.
We are 7 games, going on 7 games of the season. I'm like, I think the Bengals are just not going to show up because they're just going to think they can sleepwalk through this, and that's your best chance to maybe keep this within 7 points. Now, we do have game four tonight. I just got to say, I think it's going to be really interesting to see if this game transpires like last night's game. How you utilize Emmanuel Clase after the way the last couple games have gone for him.
Well, I look at it this way. It comes down to Gavin Williams. Can Gavin Williams give you any type of length whatsoever? And if he can, you go back to what you normally do at your best. You work that back end portion of the bullpen and you do what you're supposed to do. And with that being said, I would not have Clase go 1+ innings tonight. I can't look at that knowing that you have tomorrow's game no matter what.
So I'll be honest with you, I'm a little spooked about Emmanuel. Not even because of last night's game. Did you see, I think it was his Instagram, did you see that he was posting, he like did a little video and it was like scanned across his awards. And man, I got to tell you, I'm trying not to be that guy because I think you got a hell of a chance to win this game. But that spoke to me of a player that it actually might be in his cage. And that really scares me because you cannot have a confidence crisis or I'm going to show all you guys moment. Maybe I'm picking at straws here, but man, did that scare me when I saw that.
Well, is this the Jose Mesa 2.0? I mean, that's the way I'm looking at that or reading into that then, is that if he's posting stuff on Instagram or on X of what he is or was, like, you've got a game to focus on right now, man. Like, you just gave up 2 big home runs and you blew the save. Like, that's what you did. You're supposed to be the best closer in baseball right now. And when the biggest moment in the history, and I wouldn't say history, but the biggest moment of 2024 is upon you, you give up 2 bombs.
Well, and you don't, here's the thing. You don't know when he's posting that. Is it, because I don't know Emmanuel's sense of humor. It could have been a ha ha ha, LOL kind of thing. You know what I mean? It could have been tongue in cheek. It could have been he's pissed that, you know, pissed at himself. Like, there's a million things, but like, I agree with you 100%. I don't know why Steven brought him in the eighth inning. And I know that Gattis has also struggled, but I think we've now taken it to the limit to go full Eagles here. We've taken it to the limit on how many times you can put him in that extra little bit. Cause I don't think he's himself right now. And even like just in terms of crispness, he's missed too many times in this environment for you to go back out. If ninth inning, hey, he's Emmanuel Clase. You're going to ride or die with that guy.
Right.
But in terms of overextending that, I think you got to really be careful because I do think you can, you know, if you do that again and he implodes again, even if you win, I don't know you get him back. You lose Clase mentally.
You're done.
And it probably is going to impact the first half of next year.
Right.
And honestly, He's got a great contract. There's going to be trade interest in him this offseason. That's not where we are, but you don't want that to be in his mind or your mind or other teams' mind, depending on how this offseason looks. Like, there's just a lot going in here that if tonight this plays out again and you try and go four outs with him, at some point you're touching the damn stove without a glove. At some point you're going to get burnt, and it could be the thing that sinks you in this series or the next.
Well, and the thing I look at too, if you go one plus innings again tonight, let's say you try to get four outs with him or five outs with him tonight, you don't have another day off. You play tomorrow. You have to be able to, yes, I understand you have to win this game to get back to 2-2 and hopefully win tomorrow night and then have that day off. But ultimately, you have to make sure that he is crisp. He wasn't crisp last night. I know that some people said, oh, his stuff was really good last night. I didn't think it was great. It might have been good, but you're throwing a fastball, okay? He calls it a cutter, but it's still a fastball. It's 99 miles an hour. When you look at that pitch, it was constantly away, away, away. At some point, you have to stand Judge up. I'm not saying you have to throw at him. You got to stand him up. You got to make him uncomfortable in the box, and then you can go back to that. And he just stayed away. And then going back to the Tigers series, he threw breaking balls to Carpenter. You know, if you're going to continue to do that, three breaking balls, a major league hitter is going to make that adjustment. I don't care who you are. You can be the best hitter in baseball like Judge is, or you can be the worst baseball hitter. It does not matter. If you're constant, you know, going through it and doing the same thing, you're not going to get the good results.
I'll ask you, are you worried about Class A?
I'm not worried about Class A. What I am worried about is the way that things are playing out right now. Mm-hmm. I think Class A can do, it'll be just fine. I think if you get him back to being the ninth inning guy that he is accustomed to all day long, I throw the ball and I give it to him no matter what. No questions asked. You're up one, you're up two. Class A, here you go.
216-474-0092. Is it time to reconsider Class A's usage? I mean, we had somebody call in earlier. We weren't able to get to their call because we had tons of people, you know, there are tons of guests, but we had somebody calling in saying, Cade Smith for closer. No. I mean, I really think, like, I think if you're Steven Vogt, you're trying to walk a line.
Yes.
You're trying to walk a line of, I know I got to trust this guy, because at some point it's like the Naylor conversation. Yeah, it sucks watching him go 0 for the double play at the end of the in the middle of the ninth inning. Like, those things are so defeating. At the same point, you didn't get here by bailing on these guys. So you're trying to walk the line of, I believe in you, because you can't win a World Series without Manu Klase. You can't win a World Series without Josh Naylor. Just can't. Without that, with somebody at one point, Emmanuel Klase has got to come in, win the games on the line, 1-2-3, knock the thing out. And same thing with Naylor. So you are trying to walk that line of, I got to show you I have confidence in you. But you can't continue to be overly confident. And I love that you pointed out, this is not something we've seen Emmanuel Klase do a lot. You know, you've talked a lot about how at the end of your career, you know, you had to make the switch to the bullpen, and the difference that you saw in guys in the bullpen and how they think, and that importance of, like, the regimented thing, and the importance of knowing when you're going in, and the difference between an inning and a third in one inning. Can you speak to that for a minute, just to kind of put this in perspective?
Very much so. So when your position is the closer, you're accustomed to, nowadays, one inning. You're used to the manager, your team's winning the game, you're used to the manager bringing you in the ninth inning. Now, as we get to the playoffs and everything, is full circle with saying, I need multiple outs from you because we have to win this game. If you haven't done it, it's very hard. So you have your setup guy. He's done a good job all season long. I would have, for me, kept Hunter Gaddis in there. He walks Juan Soto. Give him a chance to throw against Judge. If he doesn't do it, okay, now let's see what happens at that point.
Because it's funny, because I think the answer is always, well, you know, you trust your guy. Well, you trust your guy in the situation that he's used to. Correct. And comfortable with. And so, I mean, I think game two in the Tiger series, the Carpenter bomb, I think that was your warning shot. And it didn't sink the series, but it certainly changed that series and changed that moment where, even though he gave it up in the ninth inning instead of the eighth inning when he came in, you are asking a guy to adjust on the fly in the playoffs. So I think that was your warning shot, and last night was a confirmation. If you say Emmanuel's going to pitch the ninth inning, okay, we're good.
Right.
And listen, even if his stuff's not good, Like, he doesn't need the best, he doesn't need the 103 mile an hour cutter versus the 99 mile an hour cutter, and he can make more mistakes. But if he's already not crisp, the velo's down it's weird to say.
It's down a tick.
Maybe even a half tick.
Right.
But for a guy like that, with that kind of overpowering stuff, a half tick is a lot, especially against Judge and Soto and Stanton.
Well, and that's where I go back to saying you can't repeat over and over again the same sequence, though.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to go fastballs away like he is or cutters away, you have to mix in a breaking ball. You have to show something, and you can't stay on the same plane. Every single one of those pitches last night was on the same plane. Fastballs away, no breaking ball, and you never stood them up. You never threw inside to set everything back up. That's where you've got to get back to.
Can I ask you how much of that is on Hedgie? Because that I was surprised at the lack of adjustment from Austin, if the pitcher himself might be a little single-minded.
Well, here's the thing. At the end of the day, the pitcher, it's the pitcher's call. He can shake off Hedgie or any catcher if he says, you know what? Yes, that's my best pitch, and I don't disagree with calling it, but you have to mix up the sequence. You can't go fastball, 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 especially against great big league hitters. You can't.
216-474-0092. So I think our answers are both kind of the same here, which is I'm not necessarily worried about Class A big picture because, like, but there probably is a little fatigue. It is colder weather. Like, there's a lot of reasons to kind of explain this. I think I'm more worried if you continue to go to that inning and a third, inning and two thirds, something like that. But we are asking you guys, are you worried about Class A's usage right now and his ability to be the Class A that wins you games here? Mike in Middleburg, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I love it. The game last night was crazy. But on Class A, I'm not worried about him. I don't know if you guys listen, but Pedro Martinez, he kind of echoed some of the stuff you guys were saying. He was talking about that bat against Stanton and saying that Stanton had no chance of hitting Class A's fastball, that there was no reason for him to come off the fastball. He did. He threw a slider. He left it up too high, and Stanton smashed it. So just to kind of echo what you guys are saying, I'm not worried about him. I think his stuff's there. It's just the approach. And, you're making the point that a pitcher can kind of shake things off or whatever, and, you know, it's really up to them to throw the pitch they want to throw. But I do think it's the kind of thing where he needs to come in with a better approach, whether it's watching what he did last night and just kind of pointing out you had both these guys down in the count. You had two strikes on both of them. You know, just be mindful, you know, to your point. Come inside. Change their eye level. You know, if a guy can't hit your fastball, Stan can't catch up to the fastball, don't get cute with the slider. I think he just needs to focus on the approach. Not get cute. I don't think it's usage. I don't think asking him to get four outs is the problem. So that's just my two cents. Go Guards.
Go Guards, buddy. Thank you very much. Getting back to it, I think if there can't be a third two-run home run, game-deciding home run.
No, not at all.
There can't, because that's, I mean, honestly, we're already there of already starting to ding this dude's confidence. And the IG video about, you know, scanning over his awards, like, depending on how you read that, that could be a little telltale sign. Let him get locked back in. Because, listen, I think last night showed when your best guys don't have their best nights, you can still win. But you're not winning seven more games at that.
Well, and you're not winning back-to-back games like that either. You're not going to come in tonight and out-homer the Yankees back-to-back nights. You're just not going to do that. That's not the way that the Garters do it anyhow. But I think looking at it in the small, you know, microcosm of what we're trying to accomplish is if Class A goes out in the ninth inning last night and they're winning 3-1, I think it's a different story. I don't think we go extra innings, you know, and have all the heroics. But because it didn't happen, now all of a sudden you don't have that day to recover. You're supposed to be asked tonight if the Guards have the lead. Got to give it back to him in the ninth.
216-474-0092. Matt and Willoughby, you stick there. Tonight's game four. Are you worried about Class A going into tonight's game? We'll have that in the latest on the Guardians, Yankees, game four. It's real, folks, and we are within 3 hours of first pitch. More to come on 92.3 The Fan. The first domino is fallen with the Browns after the 1-5 start. Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin talk about it on their podcast, It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, including post-game drops after every game. Subscribe to this podcast now at 923thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast, sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. So we're talking about the Class A doubt, and we got a couple calls on this. I want to get to it. I think this is a big test for Stephen Vogt today. And I really got to say, I thought after games one and game two, I thought his tone was a little down off where it had been in his post game. His energy just was not where it had been after like the losses in Detroit. And so I was happy that they got that win. So that pendulum swings back the other way. But I think whether it is at any point you consider benching Naylor, I think how long of a leash do you have on Gavin tonight? And then I think the Class A thing. I think those are three huge things that can swing this series one way or another. It all starts with Gavin coming up to start the game.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, you have your home crowd, home field advantage. You have the same lineup as last night. You know, so we're looking at that. Gavin Williams with Austin Hedges.
Gavin,
I think is going to be a big play tonight from pitch number one. Never pitched in the playoffs before. Young Major League Baseball player right now. So emotionally, where is he going to be? Is he going to be too high where everything's elevated? Or, you know, is he on the back pedal where maybe we don't see his best stuff right off the get? And that's going to be the scary thing for me is what does Steven do at that point?
Can I get one request here from Gavin? Don't go full Cantillo.
yeah, please don't.
Like, just don't do that. Just don't make me live that. And here's the thing. Gavin's got the best stuff on the starting rotation.
He really does, yes.
So, like, when you talk about pure stuff, this is the kind of moment where if he goes out tonight, and let's say he can double up what Matthew Boyd did, different styles completely, obviously, you know, one's a lefty, one's a righty. If he can give you five solid tonight and not have any of those big jibs, not give up the big bombs, the reason why that matters is it has implications beyond this. Because Gavin's stuff, if he can settle in, if he's right, because I'll be honest with you, I think he was just a little off kilter. Once he got injured, I think he never really got in the swing of things. And then I think, you know, he started doing things like tipping his pitches. And I don't think he ever had time to just catch his rhythm. And I kind of hope that the time off has kind of, you know, all right, you're throwing simulated games, you're staying, you know, you're keeping that arm in shape, but maybe it just gave him a little breather. Because if he can all of a sudden pitch like a no BS, I can trust you for four or five or six innings, that opens up the rest of this series. That opens up a real path to a World Series. Not, I don't want to put any more pressure on the kid, but like that's the kind of stakes if he can go out there and pitch well tonight.
Well, I think when you put him on the mound, he needs to be that intimidating force on the mound. He's 6'6". Use that to your advantage. Use what you have, what God gave you, and that's an unbelievable arm, and go out there and dominate this lineup like you should or know how at some point, right? This is where I look at a young player like Gavin Williams to make it because of what he does in the playoffs.
It's so funny. I'm so nervous for us, but I'm kind of excited for him.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to see what he's capable of doing.
Because I know this year notwithstanding, if he can stay healthy, he's just going to be the next great one. And it's so funny because Bybee, his, you know, obviously last year it was like Gavin's a better pitcher. Bybee's, you know, fighting through it.
Right.
This year, Bybee was much more the bulldog, much more where he needed to be. He was your ace. I think going into next year, even, it's going to be a wild 1-2. Who's it, like a little bit of a, and that's not a competitive thing, but like who's your better pitcher? That can start as soon as tonight.
Well, it's like the big brother, little brother type syndrome type thing where you look at both of these guys. They both have really, really good stuff. And to be able to next year look at it, you know, in the future of a 1-2 punch, that's a nice luxury to have for Steven.
Well, and here's the other thing, because we talked about this with, you know, I think sometimes I think it's hugely beneficial that young guys get postseason experience. Because I think postseason experience can change your career. You know, I think Hosey getting the toe in the water in 2016 and honestly being one of their best players.
Right.
Like, I think success breeds success. And success in the postseason can absolutely be the thing. I think for Rocchio, man, I got a lot of hope for that kid, more so than I did 2 months ago. Manzardo, I mean, that dude came up in a game where you needed runs, and he got that two-run home run. You were playing from a deficit there, 1-0. I feel the same way about Gavin Williams. Like, well, you just never know when that light's going to go on for a player, and if it does, it can have huge dividends in the future in the regular season as well.
Well, and look at the guys we're talking about right now. They're all homegrown guys coming up through the system. That just shows you what the Guardians are capable of doing year in and year out is developing young players to become good Major League Baseball players. And when I look at it right now, and you brought up Rocchio, I wasn't a big fan of him when he first came up this year. I was like, oh my gosh, man, young kid, you know, he's got some good tools, but I was like, I don't think he's ready. What he's shown in the playoffs right now is outstanding. I know he made the blunder with the pop fly, you know, that my son at 10 years old can catch all day long. But what he has really done at the nine hole and turned over that lineup to get it to Stephen Kwan and to be able to get it to David Fry and Manzardo, like, those are the things that you look at that can grow on a team that needs to get that push.
Matt and Willoughby, buddy, you've been waiting patiently here. Any worry about Class A going forward?
Yes, and the only reason I see that is I get this, like, weird parallel to, like, 2001, and, like, I felt bad. When he gave up that shot yesterday, I called it Byung-Hung Class A.
All right.
We got you.
All right. BK Kim was pretty good. Put some respect on that name.
I was not thrilled about it, but, like, I think he just has to go back to basics. I think he just needs to stick to one inning. No need for this cute stuff right now. Just get him back, sell down, calm down, get him in the, like, just the normal appearances he's in. And as far as Gavin, like I think Gavin's had, like, the best stuff on the roster. I think he just, you know, five innings, I think, is what we need. And it seemed like that was the magic number last night.
Matt, we appreciate you, buddy. Go Guards.
Go Guards.
216-474-0092. Man, if this kid can just, it's like the 11th hour.
It's going
to
be fun.
Like, asking him to do it now is just, quite frankly, not fair that it's all going to come together. But man, if it's there and it comes through tonight, the ramifications are so real for the rest of this series and certainly a hypothetical World Series run. We want to hear from you guys. Any worry about Class A going forward? And we're talking about tonight's game as well. Doug, Jeff, you guys stick there. More as we get you ready for the ALCS next on 92.3 The Fan.